Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And we've got a great prescription coming up for you today. We are talking about choosing joy. Now, all of us face things in life that we don't see coming. We all face things that can be perceived as difficult. But God, my two favorite words in the history of ever, but God gives us the strength. He gives us exactly what we need to face what we're going to face. And today I'm really excited to bring to you actually one of our listeners. Today we're going to talk to Jen Heaton. She is a listener of the show. She had a divine encounter with our producer here, Stephanie, on the show. And when she shared her story with Stephanie, we just thought, oh, this is something that our listeners need to hear. Now, Jen and her husband, Johnny, they live in Texas and they've been married for almost 25 years. Her husband's a game warden and a pastor. She was a teacher. She has a son who has Down syndrome and cystic fibrosis. He's 18 now. His name is Jack. And she leads a baseball league for people with special needs. That is amazing. And we just want to dive in and learn about her story. So, Jen, we are so grateful that you are here today with us, helping us to lift our eyes to choose joy and to share your story. So thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Jen, why don't you just start just sharing a little bit about yourself, your testimony? How did you come to know the Lord, and how did your family come to be?
I didn't know that people didn't know the Lord. I was raised in church, and I didn't know that people didn't know the Lord. And when I was 8, I heard a sermon, and I learned that hell was a thing, and that scared me.
I would.
But I started understanding a little bit more, and I learned that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. And so I was saved and I was baptized, and I went to college and wasn't always living as I knew the Lord, but I always felt conviction when I didn't live that way. Met my husband in college. And we joined Fellowship of Huntsville Church in Huntsville, Texas, right when we got home from our honeymoon. And my husband thought he was saved, realized he wasn't, and was quickly saved and baptized. And we went to that church for the beginning of our marriage, probably for the next 5 or 6 years until we moved away. And so thankful for that we were able to get such a great foundation there, strong biblical teaching. And we're still very much in contact with the pastor and his family and the Bible study leaders that I got to learn under. And so later, Johnny decided, it was much later in life, he decided to go to seminary. He felt a calling. I tried to get him not to go to seminary because he had been school for so long, and I just didn't want him to keep going to school, but I understood when he explained that he just really had to go. And seminary's hard. It's very hard when you're working a full-time job as well. And when you have a child with special needs, it's a lot. But I understood that he needed to go. So he did that for 6 years, and now he's the pastor of Austonio Baptist Church, but as well as being a game warden. But we had tried for years. It almost took us 5 years to get pregnant, and we were looking into adopting, actually, and Johnny was hit head on while he was on duty by two drunk drivers, and they were racing, and they crushed most of his body.
Oh my goodness.
And or crushed or broke three different limbs of his body. And it was at that time that we learned I was pregnant.
So oh my goodness.
I think God did that to give us such hope and help him to get better. And we were thrilled out of our heads. And Johnny recovered, and he went back to work at the end of August, and we had Jack September 4th.
Wow.
Yes. So Jack has been the absolute greatest joy of our life. He is unbelievably amazing. And I cannot believe he is 18 years old. But he is. And with turning 18 with a child with special needs comes some different challenges because they are technically an adult.
You know, my kids are entering that young adult stage too. And I think, how in the world did we get there? But you're right. And you have faced some different challenges and different considerations, and that transition can look different. And, you know, I want to go back for just a second to something that you said that was really important that I don't want our listeners to miss. And that is, when you and Johnny first got married, you started going to church right after you got back from your honeymoon. And I definitely think that, especially for newlywed couples, it is so important to get established in a church home, because it is important to walk alongside people who are going to be there in the valleys, in the mountaintops, in the highs, in the lows. And what my husband and I found when we did that, we joined a newlywed group, is that they are not afraid to speak truth into your life. Like, when you have friends, you know, and you start having marriage tensions or troubles, or, you know, that are just normal part of being human and being in a marriage, because marriage is hard. A lot of times your friends will say, you know, oh, I can't believe he did that, or that kind of thing. But man, your church friends will say, well, this is how God calls you to treat him. This is how God calls you to forgive. This is how God calls you to love. And it's so hard to do. But I'm sure just having that foundation early on, even before, you know, experiencing this horrible accident with drunk drivers that just seems so unfair. And then being, you know, I can't imagine, what was it like for you, Jen, to I'm sure there were mountains and valleys in that journey of I'm expecting, and then finding out you're going to have a child with special needs, all the while your husband is trying to recover. What kinds of mountains and valleys did you experience, and how did your faith sustain you through all of those emotions that I'm sure came during that time?
When I got the call that Johnny had been in the wreck, they couldn't tell me if he was alive. And so when I got the next call, it was from his phone. So I knew that he was alive because he had to have been able to tell somebody to call me. So that's all I cared about. All I cared was that he was alive, and we would deal with the rest of it. And you know, Johnny couldn't go to the restroom. He couldn't do anything for himself for months and months. And I think part of that was God preparing me for a child with special needs. And I was just grateful to have him. And then when I learned I was pregnant, I was grateful that my child was going to have his dad. I didn't want any testing done. And again, this was 18 years ago, 19 years ago, basically, before they had quite as much testing, but I didn't want any testing. It took me forever to get pregnant. I didn't care how this baby was coming out. I was thrilled out of my head that I was going to have a baby. My doctor finally talked me into just doing blood work on me, and he said, all I'm asking you to do is blood work on you. That way, if there's something we need to be prepared for in the delivery room or there's equipment that needs to be set up at your house, we'll be prepared. That's all I'm asking you to do. And I said, fine. At that time, we learned that I have cystic fibrosis. And so we didn't know that Jack was going to have Down syndrome. I would not have cared. I wouldn't have done anything different. I mean, I would have cared, but I wouldn't have done anything different.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was born, he was amazing. He was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life. And he really was doing well. He was, you know, he was tiny and he was a little colder and things like that. He had a little more trouble eating than some babies, but he was even able to nurse with some assistance. It was later that everything kind of went downhill. And we almost lost Jack several times. But in the very beginning at the hospital when he was born, things were okay. And I was just thrilled out of my head. I can remember my mom being a little upset. And she was like, you've been through so much. And I said, Mom, if I were to go to, if this is how this worked, the babies were lined up in a crib in heaven, and you were to go pick out your baby, I would walk up to Jack's crib and pick him out. He is supposed to be my child. He is who God picked for me. And she looked at me and said, oh, well, okay.
Oh.
And that was that. Johnny struggled a little bit more, but again, he was going through so much at that time,
mm-hmm.
Trying to heal and recover himself, you know. But I knew I had somehow, and I wish I could tell you how it happened, but somehow in the first 2 weeks of Jack's life, Psalm 139 was revealed to me, and I have Jack's baby picture in my Bible. It's been there since. And I have referred to that countless times over the years, and I've shared it with others so many times. And it just confirmed everything for me. God created my son exactly the way he wanted him. And I just don't have any trouble with that.
Honestly, Jen, I think that is so beautiful to say that, because I actually just wrote an article for The Stand magazine, which is the magazine that is put out by American Family Association. And by the way, you can subscribe to that online or in print, or there's also a radio brief that goes along with that, hosted by Jeff Chambly. But we had an issue that was related, that was dedicated to just celebrating life. And when I was writing about that, and you know, I was looking at the advances of genetic testing and how that is really commonplace. You talked about Jack being 18, even more so now. Pre-implantation genetic testing is a routine part of IVF and all of those kinds of things. And maybe, you know, our listeners know or don't know, but it has led to elimination of a lot of babies with Down syndrome. Like in Iceland, there are almost none. It's very unusual. But for me, as a pediatric nurse, Jen, I have been around a lot of kids with Down syndrome. And if there is anyone in this planet who is going to teach you how to choose joy, it is children like Jack. They just radiate joy and bring so much joy. So I really want to dive in more to your story and how he's brought joy to your life and how he is so special, how he is the most amazing person you know, and how you're thankful to be his mom. Just hearing that story is going to encourage the hearts of those who are listening. And I have a lot of questions about this baseball team that you have. It is absolutely precious. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives, and we have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight for the lives of babies, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Whether it's your best day, your worst day, some Tuesday or your birthday, every day's a good day. Now let me tell you why. If you got air in your lungs, you got blood in your body, you are a child of God. Come on and sing it, somebody.
Welcome back, friends. That song, I love that song. That's I'm So Blessed by Kane. And on our best day, we're children of God. On our worst day, we're children of God. And whether you're joining us on your best day, your worst day, some Tuesday, or your birthday, every day is a good day. And we are here to tell you why with Jen Heaton. Now, Jen is one of our listeners who had a divine encounter with my radio producer. We heard Jen's story, and it's just beautiful. And we're so delighted and honored that she would share her testimony with you. She's talking about her husband, John. If you missed out on that first segment, go back and listen to her story. She talked about their struggles to get pregnant, about her husband being hit by a drunk driver, almost killed, and then having her son, Jack, who was born with Down syndrome and cystic fibrosis, and being just the baby that she knew God picked for her. And Jen earlier shared that Psalm 119 really resonated in her heart. Let me share it with you and remind you, wherever you are, of those words that God has spoken over you from Psalm 119, starting in verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I'm awake, I am still with you. And we are awake today and listening to Jen's story. And those are words that God speaks over you, over your children. He knows you. He sees you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. And as he has a plan for children with special needs. And for me as a nurse, I believe that children with special needs are just truly extraordinary. They bring a unique kind of joy and inspiration to the world. They are resilient, they're determined, and they have the ability to approach life with such authenticity and courage. And they remind us of the strength of the human spirit and the way that God created us. And every child has their own unique perspective and gifts. And they teach us, no matter what age or stage, they teach us how to be empathetic, how to be patient, how to give unconditional love. And they inspire us to be creative, to be innovative as we work together to better understand their needs and to see the world the way they see it. Their laughter, their milestones, no matter how big or small, are really powerful reminders of the beauty that God created. And again, I just keep going back to VeggieTales. God made you special, and he did make you special. And he made Jack special, and he made Jen special. And so thank you, Jen, for being with us to share your journey with Jack. I just really appreciate that. And I would love for you just to share your perspective, what you've learned, maybe take an opportunity to encourage other parents out there who are raising kids with special needs. What have you learned? How have you grown? How has God been faithful to you in that?
Oh, my goodness. Do we have a week?
Yeah, sure. We'll take it.
I would not be... I can't imagine who I would be. I wouldn't be half of who I am without him. He teaches me far more than I could ever teach him.
That is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. What does he teach you? Tell me.
He will walk up to complete strangers in a grocery store and ask them if he can pray with them. Mm. He will invite people to lunch, and you're like, sure. Do you want to go to lunch?
What's your name again?
I can remember one of the stories that I tell people. So Jack was very, very fragile at a time in his life, and we had just started going back in public and things like that. And, I'm ashamed of myself for this, so let me preface this story with that. But we were in a grocery store. We were leaving, and there was a gentleman. He was on a scooter, and I'll just be honest, he was dirty. Jack walked right up to him, and he just gave him the biggest hug. And I am ashamed to admit, but I was pretty much cringing and thinking, I don't want him to get sick. I don't want him to get sick. I don't want him to get sick. And I can remember feeling so ashamed of myself. And it was like God said, Jen, do you think that I'm not aware of what's happening? I'm using him. He's okay. I've got this. The man looked at me and said, thank you for allowing him to hug me. I needed that so much. And I just remember feeling such conviction and realizing that God had created my child for so much more. He doesn't see people the way most of us see them. He sees them the way that God sees them.
That is really convicting to us all, Jen, honestly, looking at, and I think about how Jesus had such a love and affection for children. Let the little children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless you have the faith of a child, and looking at the faith through that, just being uninhibited and just not being really trapped by some of those social limitations that we put on ourselves, you know, like what we consider to be like, oh, we think, oh, I can't say that. We have fear, or we have, you know, we think people will, what will people think of us? Or so often, you know, we're prompted. I think of so many times, Jen, when I myself have felt prompted by God to approach a stranger or say something or do something or have an act of kindness. And I'm so, you know, just absolutely terrified by my own social perceptions, thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to think, what will they think? But just seeing the lack of inhibition in that way, and just following and just giving just such pure kindness. I think that's absolutely beautiful. And one of the things that was really inspiring about your story is starting this special needs baseball team, which, you know, baseball is America's pastime. People love baseball. And I would love to hear the story on how this came to be.
Yes, ma'am. So baseball was not unfamiliar to us. When Jack was three, we had been invited to play in a different town. When we moved to Lubbock and we played on a challenger team there, I got to be on the board for a little bit there. And then we moved back here, and there was a league in Bryan College Station, but it was most of the people who had started the league, their kids had outgrown it, and it had, so the challenger leagues, they, most of them have age cutoffs, or they have to have an adult league and they're separate. So there's some red tape. They're great leagues, but there's some red tape as far as age limits and things like that. And the one here, the people who had started it, their kids had outgrown it, and they were starting to not participate. And the league was becoming non-existent, would be the best way I can say it. And they weren't playing very often. It was only happening in the spring, and there were just a few games, and not many people were showing up. And so I knew that if there was going to be baseball here, something had to happen. So I had a meeting in my living room with some of the parents who I knew would be interested, and they said, you're going to have to take over if we're going to have baseball. So I prayed about it, and my son loves baseball. He's always loved baseball. He would carry a baseball bat, like one of those plastic baseball bats, around when he was a little boy, even in the car, on trips, anything. You took a baseball bat. And so I started working on it. And we added a fall season, and we started adding practices. But there was a lot of learning involved and work to be done. But basically, I started it and because there was not an active, successful baseball league here. And I knew that baseball was a sport that everyone could participate in. And I also see it as therapy that they have no idea is therapy. It's cognitive therapy. It's physical therapy. It's something the whole family and the whole community can be involved in. So it's just a necessary thing.
It absolutely is. You know, my family is a baseball family. We love baseball. And when my boys were little, my husband was a coach. And I remember this one time where they were having tryouts, and this was for T-ball. So these are little teeny tiny tykes, you know. And there was a particular family who had, they actually had triplets, but two of the triplets were wanting to play, and they had been premature. So they had some, you know, they had some catching up to do and some physical limitations. And my first thought as they came up to tryouts is, oh, we need to make sure that those kids get on the same team so that the, you know, the mama has one team to go to, one series of games. And I remember hearing this conversation with some of the coaches saying, oh, look at those kids coming up. Okay, make sure, like, I don't want them. How are we going to make sure, like, we probably need to put them on separate teams because, you know, that's going to be two kids with physical limitations on one team. And I just remember my heart just kind of sinking down to my toes and thinking, yes, I get that, you know, competitive spirit of baseball. I get, you know, the goals and aspirations that some parents may want to have. But looking at exactly what you said, for me, baseball and team sports like that, they are cognitive therapy. They are physical therapy. They are community therapy. They're family therapy. It's so great. And so to have a place and a league where that mindset is embraced to create a space for that kind of approach to baseball, it just thrills my heart. And so, Jen, what are the core values and mission of the team?
So our mission statement is, because we are made in the image of God and everything is possible with God, Crusaders provides a place for people with special needs and their families to fellowship while building their skills through the game of baseball. And then we also we use the scripture, Mark 10:27. Jesus looked at them intently and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. We have a married couple who has Down syndrome, and they play on our team. And that was on the back of their wedding invitation. And so we stole it from them. But we also stole it from them because it just, we can't do this without God. But with God, all of our kids can play baseball. And I say kids, I have adults older than me who play baseball with us, but they're all my kids in my eyes. So
that's beautiful, Jen.
Thank you. We love the atmosphere of Crusaders and what we get to do. I tell people sometimes it becomes my normal. And I'm used to it, so it becomes normal to me. But when other people come, they're surprised by it. So it's not normal to them. But it is to me because I get to do it every day, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, Jen, how does the team's faith-based approach shape what you're doing? How do you live that out through baseball?
So our decision, first of all, we pray. We pray through everything, especially my husband and I, and then as well as our parents. And it's before you can join our team, you know that it's a Christian team. And you have to agree. You might not have to be a Christian to join, but you have to agree to respect that it is a Christian team. And that the decisions that I make are based on Christian values and Christian biblical principles. So that's just a given going into it. It's a private league, so that's part of it. And then, I've had to make some decisions where I've had to stand on those biblical principles.
Well, I want to talk about that, Jen. We are up against a break here. I have a lot more questions about the challenges that you've faced and how you navigated those and some success stories and just transformative moments, how you have a sense of community with the team. So don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Jen Heaton. And we're prescribing hope today and choosing joy no matter where you are. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
Here's Dr. Al Mohler from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
Jesus in the Gospel of John continually points to the scriptures. And as he says famously, these are they that testify of me. If you knew Abraham from the scriptures, you would know me. Jesus himself refused to allow that division between his own authority and the authority of scripture. He never set scripture aside. What he did was to make very clear that he perfectly fulfilled Scripture. And of course, he went beyond even the Old Testament law in the Sermon on the Mount, saying, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. I will tell you that if you've lusted in your heart, you have already committed adultery. So Jesus Christ himself drives us back to the authority of Scripture. And evidently, that's exactly where he wants his church to be.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org. God only knows. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. But God only knows the real you. There's a kind of love that God only knows. You keep a cover over every single secret. So afraid if someone saw them, they would leave. Somebody sees you. Somebody will never leave you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows.
Welcome back, friends. God only knows what you've been through. I don't know what you've been through, but I know that if you are a human living on this earth, that you have faced challenges of whatever kind, whatever you are going through, whether it's little, whether it's big, whether it seems hopeless, whether you're feeling hopeful, God knows what you have been through. And we are talking today to Jen Heaton, and she's sharing with us some of the things that she has been through in her life, some of the challenges, the trials, but the ways that God has been faithful. I hope that you have joined us for our 52 Habits for Healthy Families. And we're talking every day on every week, we're giving a new habit that you can adopt. And one of through all of those habits, we're giving daily prescriptions for joy. And our prescription today is to choose joy, to choose joy. That's the way to find hope. It's all of these little things that matter. There is no magic life hack, parenting hack, marriage hack. It's all in the faithfulness and seeing God meet you where you are. And Jen has modeled that for us in choosing joy. She shared with us her struggles to conceive, her husband being in a life-threatening accident, and then having a child, Jack, with special needs, and how much joy he brought to her life and is bringing to her life. And if you were to catch you up right before the break, we were talking about a baseball league that she has started for kids and adults with special needs. And Jen, let's go back to that baseball league. And you were just talking about some of the challenges that you faced when you were starting the team and how you bring this faith-based lens to it. And so I'm going to let you pick back up right where you were.
Okay. So some of the things that we do together as a baseball league is we pray together at every practice, at every game. We spend time in prayer together. Usually it is led by one of the players. At the last two practices we've had, my husband has prayed with us, but it's usually led by one of the players. We also, like recently, the last 3 days, one of my players has been in the hospital in ICU, and we have GroupMe, and we're able to pray together as a team. We're able to use GroupMe and pray for one another. And I'm so thankful that because we are a Christian league, we are able to truly go to the Lord in prayer and lift one another up and help one another out. Because everybody has challenges, right? But people with special needs tend to have a few more needs and medical concerns and such. So the prayer of your friends and family, and in Crusaders, we are a family, it's vital. We also do Bible study together, or at least study, like since winter workouts have started, we have been studying a piece of scripture after our winter workouts. And I love the excitement that our players have about learning the Word of God together. So those are just a few of the things that we do being a faith-based league. We not only work out together and work on our skills and play baseball, but we study God's Word and pray together.
Well, you've talked about needing community, needing family, especially for kids with special needs. It is really special to have that kind of community. And I can see how a faith-based baseball team for kids and adults, as you said, just it's such a beautiful blend of physical activity, social connection, and spiritual growth. Because as people, God created us body, mind, and spirit. And this, I see this as a beautiful combination of those things. By using something as simple as baseball, kids can develop motor skills and coordination and confidence, but have fun while they're in a supportive environment. But Jen, hearing you talk about that faith-based foundation, just adding that additional layer of encouragement that is so needed in our souls, and like you said, children with special needs, people with special needs often have greater medical needs, and you need that deeper level of encouragement. And what a great place to learn values like kindness and teamwork and perseverance and gratitude. I just absolutely love this description of a community of shared faith and understanding with physical, emotional, and spiritual support. So how have you seen being a part of a team impact the lives of your players?
Oh, man. Our players know they are part of a team. They love wearing matching jerseys. You know, these players have siblings, and they have cousins, and they watch TV. They know what a team looks like. So to be a part of a team, to wear a jersey, it is important to them. I had a player who stood at a convenience store by his apartment for hours so everybody could see his jersey the first time he got to wear it.
That's so cute.
And he loved it. He was thrilled out of his head. And he told me when I got there to pick him up, I stood outside so everybody could see my jersey. They all loved it. I was like, oh, my goodness. but you know how important those things are to them, right?
Yeah. They get
invited to birthday parties. They build real friendships that they might not have had before. Some of them would have them just by going to school, right? But if not, then at least once a week, they get to go hang out with their friends. And some of them are involved in so many things otherwise, but some of them are not. Well, at baseball, they have friends. They get cheered for. Like I said, we pray together. So they've always got someone in their corner. Something that sounds so simple to most people, but for us, we know this is huge. Many of our people do not do bad weather well, like to the point of vomiting and getting sick. And you probably realize this as a pediatrician. I have watched our players be able to play in the rain because they work together on it as peers. And they want to play baseball so bad that they'll do it. And once they realize that they're okay in the rain, it's not so terrible. And after they've done that several times, they may still hate the lightning or the thunder, but you might not have to pull the car over every time it rains. It gets a little bit easier as because I've had parents say, we're not coming because it's raining. And if I encourage them and say, hey, bring them, it's going to be okay. You know, if it's just sprinkling or something, and you work through that. So just learning some of those coping mechanisms helps.
Yeah.
I've had players who have had better doctor visits with their hearts and such like that because they've been working out. So we've had a lot of success stories their skills have improved incredibly. One of the moms told me something that I'll never, ever forget is one of the moms told me, she said, I drove by the field and it looked like a team playing baseball instead of kids just playing on a field. And that I'll never forget.
That is really sweet. And, you know, and for me, you're right. As a pediatric nurse practitioner, especially, you know, we have a lens for holistic health, just looking at that body, mind, and spirit. And that's one of the reasons why this appealed to me so much, because it appeals to their physical health. Absolutely. You know, being outside, being active, that can be a challenge for some kids with special needs, but having an environment they can do that while their spirit is nurtured and their emotions are nurtured and, you know, they're able to think through situations. I think that's just absolutely amazing. And I love to hear about the success stories. And, you know, I think about even the boy that you're saying who stood outside the convenience store so everybody could see his jersey. Really, doesn't every kid on every baseball team feel like that? But they just don't say it. You know, they're not that open with it. It's like, oh, you got to play it cool. You know, you got to, you know, act a certain way. But they just say what everybody's feeling. And there's something that's so refreshing about that. And I'm sure that, as you said, you know, people driving by or seeing or coming to the games, what kind of support have you gotten from the community or from other organizations? Who's come alongside you and really cheered this on?
Wow. The vast majority of our community has been incredibly supportive. We have even had high school baseball teams come out and play with us or volunteer with us. Australia came and played us twice.
Really?
So they were touring and playing other teams and going to play in a big tournament. And there was a gentleman who ran some facilities here, and he said, hey, I want y'all to play this team. And they did. They played us. 2 years later, they contacted me and said, hey, we're coming back, and we have to play y'all. So that was huge. And I just, you know, it makes your heart, they don't have teams like ours in Australia. So it makes my heart, you know, just hope that maybe that's a seed planted where they would start something like that in Australia. So, but to the fact that they reached out and they wanted to play us again. Because they're a select ball team. They're not people with special needs. So that was huge to me. But when I first sat down and met with the owner of Pride Baseball and Will Simmons, who the Simmons family has guided us through this journey and helped us become Crusaders when we outgrew Pride Baseball, they have been amazing. And when I first sat down and talked with Brandon, the owner of Pride, and then Will, about how I needed to get started and what I needed to do, one of the things I said was, my goal is for the community to see that we can do things, that we're valuable, and that these players would work together, and then eventually, you know, someone who grows up with our kids, that they'll hire them, that they'll later in life, that they could work together, that they go, oh, I played baseball with them. They're awesome. Yeah, they can come and work with me. You know, those types of relationships. And we've seen those types of things unfolding. The high school baseball coach has called before and said, hey, y'all want to come and play with us? Hey, I'm going to send volunteers to help y'all after they get done practicing on Tuesdays, they're going to come and help y'all. Or on Fridays, they're going to come and help y'all when they don't have a game. We've seen people who, like Dane and Carson, they're behind a pitching machine for us most games now. And they're bringing friends. And that impacts their friends. Because they say, no, I can't come do this because I'm going to go play with the Crusaders. there's young men, young boys who've grown up for years with us now, and they're growing older, and so their friends see that. And it's impacting our community in a big way. We have a group called the Young Men's Service League who comes and volunteers with us. Our churches, several churches have helped, have supported us financially, have volunteered. So we, my son has now, he's now into rodeo, and several of the people who are part of the Rodeo Association, it's the East Texas Youth Rodeo Association, they've all come and launched and gotten involved. So we have been just hugely supported in the community.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us, for sharing Jack's story with us. And whether it's a baseball league or a different kind of community, I hope that it's inspired you. If you know kids with special needs, you have kids with special needs, to just engage. Of course, you've got to work with your primary healthcare provider to know what is going to be appropriate for them. But to all those parents of children with special needs, you are doing God's work every day. You are a beacon of love and strength and unwavering faith that are a reflection of God's grace. Your child is such a blessing, fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. And I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you until we see you here again next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.